Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 20 of the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast. As always, I am Vex X along with our host, Mr. Johnny Zero.
People's here. How are you doing out there?
Alive and well, Johnny Zero. This is the 20th episode of the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast.
I can't believe how big this has blown up. Congratulations, sir, on the 20th anniversary episode.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. You too. This is a big deal.
Yeah.
We're here. We're back. We're away from the pay-per-view event.
Yep.
We're shaking it off. We're actually
at
a house show, which is being recorded for the Saturday morning broadcast
Absolutely.
On the TV Dads Wrestling Federation on the Fox Network.
Absolutely.
Saturday morning 11 a.m.
Bringing back Saturday morning wrestling like it should be.
Now, to kick off the show, I got to tell you, I attempted, while we had our break, to have an actual sit-down interview with the one and only psycho John Lithgow.
Yes, I'm really interested to hear how this turned out. I sometimes hear he interviews himself.
Well, this isn't live. This is recorded.
Yeah.
But I want everyone to hear it.
Yeah.
So if you bear with us, please, we're gonna sync it up.
Yeah. Wait to hear this, guys.
RP, if you can get the audio ready, we'd greatly appreciate it.
Thanks.
And sit back, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go, Mr. Psycho John Lithgow. Good afternoon, folks. This is Vex X. Here I am. I'm interviewing Psycho John Lithgow. Sir, how are you today? Oh, okay.
Whoa, what the fuck? What?
I'm sorry, John. Could you please elaborate? No, I understand, sir. Wrestling. Okay, how long have you been a pro wrestler, John? I'm just wondering. John?
Oh my god.
And that concludes the interview portion of Psycho John Lithgow. What are your thoughts, Mr. Johnny Zero?
What are your thoughts? Have you ever seen anything like that before? My god.
No, it was horrifying. I didn't enjoy it. It was upsetting, you know. And
I'm glad you got out of there in one piece.
Yeah, you know, I brought a gun. I'm good. But the reality of it is that, again, it was interesting. It was everything that you thought it could be. The gentleman who literally has wrestled himself all over the country and on television is not right in the head, John.
I've never seen somebody have a Skywalker's match with themselves.
But imagine, I mean, you've actually tried to talk to him before.
Yes, I have.
And you've seen how colorful of a human being he is.
Well, he started answering questions that I wasn't asking.
You got coherent language. I didn't get any of that.
Well, maybe it's just, you know, he's coming off of his, who knows, man. He might be on maybe there's peaks and valleys in that thing. I have no idea.
Peaks and valleys indeed, John. He is a psychopath, the likes of which have never been seen before in professional wrestling. Like, the missing link was a character. Psycho John Lithgow is actually a fucking psycho.
Yeah, and the meds, I've never seen anything like this in life, period. I've never seen anything like it. And we don't know what kind of meds he's on. He's probably antipsychotic. And we're not making fun of people that have mental problems here, but this guy's off the hook, man.
On the card tonight.
Fuck, that dude's off the hook,
Mr. Lithgow is going to face another opponent, but a real person this time. Oh. Jamie Mini Bundy Lawson.
Great.
He's separating from the tag team division with his father.
Yeah.
The piece of shit.
Yeah, I want him to
Ted
fry.
Lawson. You do.
I just hope they go after him. I mean, like, Bud Bundy, say what you want if you're not a Bud Bundy fan, but he really, and me and Vex agree on this, he really worked hard here. I heard Seth Green has actually made a comment about it, making some kind of Twitter or something like that, a post about, you know, in memoriam to Bud. And
well, that's lovely.
Well, I mean, that's decent of him, but I mean, Dave, you know, Bud Bundy was a good wrestler, man. I mean, he worked hard, and you know, the guy's hurt. His paramedics are there, and this guy comes up and stomps on his skull and pierces his brain. I mean,
now, to play devil's advocate,
a piece of shit.
How do we not comprehend that Danny Bonaducci crushed his larynx with a ring bell? Like, why is that forgiven?
Because I'm not saying it is, but, you know, he's Macho Duce, man.
Now, Macho Duce is competing tonight, defending his middleweight title against the one and only Peter the Great.
Oh, Peter.
Well, these are the gentlemen in the middleweight division.
Yeah, Peter's going to have a...
Peter's the original champion, though.
He is, but
he had won the lightweight strap, and they graduated to a middleweight division.
Yeah, but he was only given that. He only won that on a technicality.
Explain what you mean.
That was Genghis Khan.
You're being suspect, sir. The winner and the champion, per the rankings, was Peter the Great.
He won on a technicality, though, but he got his ass whipped in the ring, man.
I know that everyone named Brady gives you a conniption, if you will, or you have a hard-on for these people. No. I know that you're from the drug rehab center in Charlotte Ingalls name, but the point is...
I'm not on drugs, man. What are you talking
about? No, you're not. You're supporting the drug rehab center.
Oh.
Under Charlotte Ingalls.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say. And you agree. Her name is Charlotte Ingalls. Thank you.
Charlie's.
No, Ingalls. You said Charlotte. You agree.
Charles.
And that's where you're from, and that's your allegiance. But I must advise you that though Brady is no longer the middleweight champion, he was at one time. He's the inauguration champion.
Well, that's true. He won on a technicality, but there's nothing wrong with
Stop saying the T word. I think it's frankly shoddy journalism, and you're a tabloid reporter, and you're highly suspect.
No, you're out of line, sir. Look at the there's nothing wrong with the technician going up there and working out on the farm, throwing around the barrels of hay, lifting stones and rocks. Like Rocky IV up there, man. Now look at the wrestlers that come out of there.
You know what's interesting about talking
Ritter
to
change
you,
there,
Mr.
Evans.
Oh, Ritter. That
Ritter's
C-U-N-T.
Done well. He has done well. He has done well. Hey, man, he's the guy that's going to destroy
That's me rolling my eyes.
Bundy Law. Hey, he won at the pay-per-view. He beat that piece of shit Lawson.
You know, I'm not even an athlete. I'm not a wrestler, and I could beat Lawson. Fuck that guy.
Well, apparently he likes to, he likes
the
to
hero
take,
and Marge,
take on.
Is that his name?
Hero Large, yeah.
Hero and Marge.
Hero at Large.
You have a girlfriend named Marge? Is that what it is?
No. Hero at Large.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That guy.
Yeah.
John.
Good wrestler. Good wrestler. Looks like they might have a world's first wrestling stable of faces.
It looks like it, because what you have is their collection of drug addicts.
They've never done that before.
They're all in the rehab facility. You have yourself Charlotte Ingalls, and then you got the Tool, Tim Toolman, which is a drug addict, and then you got John Ritter, who uses PEDs.
But think about how, and I don't mean interrupt, but think about how we're breaking new wrestling ground. Think about all the great stables of all time. Four Horsemen, Dangerous Alliance, NWO, et cetera, et cetera. Legion of Doom, even. The original Legion of Doom. There's never been a known stable that was faces, ever.
I'm agreeing.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, I think.
Your guys aren't really faces. They're drug addicts. But I hear you. It's cute.
You
good
just won't
you.
Give Tim Allen a break, will you? Unbelievable.
That's the sound of me rolling my eyes.
Oh, my God.
For those at home, listen.
Dude, the guy can work. The guy, he's a good worker, man. Give the guy a chance. Look, man, have you ever made a mistake in your life?
Psycho Lithgow is a good worker.
Yes, he
is. The guy can wrestle himself.
Absolutely. I've never seen a man put himself in the camel clutch before. I don't even know how he did that.
I got to tell you, I've been a wrestling journalist for a decade, and that is hands down the most colorful interview I've ever conducted ever.
Yeah, I agree. I would like to get more from him, but he sometimes. Did you ever see him? One interview I had with him, he goes off and asks his own question, and he literally has a suit on one half. It's like a half a suit. He had to have it made stitched, and he turns to one side on the ref for the TV camera, and he's talking to himself, and he has the wrestler outfit on the other with half a. I'm serious. He had even shaved his glasses down into a half.
How about the hat? Did he shave the beard?
I believe so.
Now, all right, then, John. This morning on the TV Dads Wrestling Federation Saturday morning Fox Network show, we have Shipwrecked with their first television title defense ever against the number one contenders, the Real Frankensteins.
The Real Frankensteins.
And what are your thoughts?
This is going to be a good one.
You know? Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
Well, I think it's gonna be a good match. I give the size, like you were saying before, the reach advantage definitely to Lurch and Bull. Experience together again. I hate to be a stickler about it, but it's the truth that the continuity of the tag team working together, Skipper and Gilligan. You have a power wrestler and you have a somewhat high flyer as well. It should be a good match.
Now I want to discuss something with you, if you don't mind.
Sure.
We're in the 20th episode of our podcast.
Yeah.
Okay? Tonight seems to be Bizarro Land.
Yes.
I have two faces facing off against each other for the World Tag Team Championship. Let me finish.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, Jamie Lawson, who is a heel, is facing John Lithgow, who I guess is a heel because he doesn't seem very likable.
Right.
So that's heel versus heel. And then we have Macho Bonaducci versus Peter the Great. Now, Peter the Great has kind of become a fan favorite.
What?
But he's a Brady. I'm like, are you kidding?
But
really, it's heel versus heel and face versus face most of the show, which is amazing to me.
Well, sometimes, and you know, it is a sport, folks. So you know, we as much as we would love to give you a good guy versus bad guy, and you know, what's that saying? People say wrestling is for people who aren't smart enough to read comic books. Well, sometimes it's a sport. Sometimes that just happens. The Real Frankensteins won their number one contendership.
Of course they did.
Fair and square at the Battle of the Belts. So, you know, we're just going to have to sit and people just have to pick a side and, you know, just go after it. I wonder, you know, but, you know, when you go out matches like that, it's funny. It's interesting to see when that match goes that extra, you know, half hour and they're really digging down deep. Some people will resort to tactics that, you know, others won't. So sometimes true colors can show up.
Now, before we go any further, if it's okay,
yeah,
can you please read your Pro Wrestling Illustrated top 10 for this week?
Absolutely. At number 10, Psycho Lithgow.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
We just interviewed him.
Yep.
Yeah. You want to call it that? You know.
Well, dude, just to even get him in an interview alone is amazing. I'm surprised you even went back there, man. I'm proud of you. He has been... Here's the thing. He's been winning his last few matches.
Against himself, Johnny Zero.
I know, but who is sanctioning this? Like, is it Springer or something?
We
are
under the Springer Mafia.
Yeah, we're the Springer
regime.
It is a
dark time in pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. All right. At number 9, we have Ricky Ricardo. At number 8, we have Pat Morita. At number 7, we have Hero at Large, John Ritter. At number 6, coming off his big win over Corporal Punishment, James Evans.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Good for James.
It is good for him. He needed that win.
Yes, sir.
Number 5, slipping down to number 5, is the former World Television Champion, the Giant Thespian, Fred Gwynn. And number 4, moving, skyrocketing up the top 20, is Macho Duce, Danny Bonaduce.
The new middleweight champion of the world.
Middleweight champion of the world, absolutely. Number 3 has moved up is Bo Duke, although he is not signed.
Number 3,
yeah.
That's interesting.
He has defeated. He's been beaten. He's been winning matches all over. He beat Mr. Belvedere in Britain. He beat. He's gone 2 Broadways with Morita in Japan, and he's been winning matches around the country in some of the smaller promotions with the Clampets and. You know, this is just fan compiled. This is international. Remember, not everything in here is the TVWF, but we may be bringing these wrestlers to you soon. But we'll talk about that later. At number 2, Mr. Brady, who actually won a very controversial match against Mr. Keaton, which is one of the best wrestlers in the world. You know, he's the Bishop of Wrestling, like you said. And number 1, we have the current world heavyweight champion and world television champion, at least for a few more hours, Charles Ingles.
Well, I want to stress to you, the pay-per-view happened on Saturday. The very next episode that we had was also on Saturday, a few hours later. By the time this show airs, it will be Saturday as well. So technically, it's going to be 7 days away. Do you have the information from yesterday's press conference?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so later in the show,
yeah,
we're going to finally visit this. Everybody's sitting on the edge of their seats.
Yes.
They want to know,
yeah,
will Charlotte Ingles be the world heavyweight champion? Will Charlotte Ingles be the TV champion? Will Charlotte Ingles surrender both titles and admit that Mr. Brady is the superior athlete? We really don't know.
Charles Ingles, the frontiersman.
Furthermore, there was more information handed out about the 6:05 Eastern show, which will be tomorrow.
This guy could outrun Superman in a phone booth.
I don't even understand what that means.
It means he's that badass. He's that bad. He's the baddest wrestler in the world.
He's so scared that he could outrun the fastest human on the planet in a phone booth. I get it. I get he's that scared. I get it.
Right.
I understand what you're saying.
Well, it might be. Maybe we could make that match happen to launch our new television show, 6:05.
Perhaps, perhaps not. I really can't speak on
that. That would be a great main event.
I was just asking for a follow-up.
I mean...
So, ladies and gentlemen, yeah, if you can please bear with us, what I'm going to do is, yeah, I'm going to get you the top 5,
yeah,
of the TV Dad standings,
yes,
for this week. So, without further ado, here is the top 5 wrestlers for the TV Dad Wrestling Federation for this week's program, the 20th episode of the podcast. In the number 5 position, we have the working man, James Evans.
Awesome.
Pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
In the number 4 position, this is an interesting top 5. We have the first Bishop of Wrestling, Mike, mm-hmm, Brady. in the number three position, the middleweight champion of the world, Danny Macho Man Bonaducci.
Nice.
You're going to like this. In the number two and the number one position, the TV and world's heavyweight champion, Charlotte Ingles.
Charles Ingles. There you go. As he should be.
If I'm not mistaken, in reference to the press conference we've been discussing ad nauseum for two episodes, you have a special interview with the one and only Charles Ingles, which is going to set our mind at ease in reference to this heavyweight championship.
Yes, I do.
Now, is that correct, sir?
Yes.
So without further ado, RP, if you could please load the audio, and Johnny Zero, by all means, take it away with your special interview with Charlotte Ingles.
Charles Ingles, absolutely, the frontiersman. Hi, Mr. Ingles. I know you don't grant many interviews, but you're the world's heavyweight champion. Do you have any thoughts about what's going on TV, Dad, wrestling? I'm marrying Hell's Firewood. I'm going to come down there and take away all the impurity in their lives. What do you think of the self-proclaimed Bishop of Wrestling and this bloody statue butcher? He's a different kind of critter, an evil critter, lives up there in them Hollywood shacks. And I'm going to go out there and I'm going to turn him into a pretzel. I'm going to do what I should have been done a long time ago. Man ain't even ever won a match before.
Well, sir, what were your thoughts on the match with Gwen?
You seen how big Fred Gwynn is, ain't you, boy? Ain't you? That's right. I picked him up with my head, military press slammed him. Now, that giant ain't coming around here messing with nobody anymore. And I'll be honest with you, I was almost ready to vacate the World Heavyweight title, to get on TV, to come down there and clean things up, because I don't like what's going on.
Yes, sir, I agree. We've been kind of thinking the same thing, but the ratings have never been higher, and
I don't give a damn about that. I'm the World Heavyweight Champion. This is a sport, boy. This is about wrestling. It ain't about. It's about catch as catch can. You understand me? And, you know, all these guys up here with all these drugs and their Hollywood nonsense. Well, Frontiersman ain't down with that, boy. I'm going to be tilting on to my World Heavyweight Championship. But I have renegotiated my contract where I will be defending the World's Heavyweight title on television, so I can keep an eye on what's going on around there. You can understand, I go around the country. I go around the world internationally defending this belt.
Thank you, Mr. Ingles, for clearing that up. You are the world champion, and so I understand you're going to be vacating the World Television Championship. Is that correct?
That's right, boy. But I've come to the realization that I need to be defending that belt on television so I can keep an eye on what's going on. The way you ball putting up with this, anybody even putting up with what's going on? You. Now, I'm talking about you, Johnny Zero. I ain't talking about you. But you know I'm talking about everybody in the locker room. All the boys in the back. Me and Neckbeard been sitting here watching this. This is a sport. And every single one of you, for even putting up with it, is out of line. Ha ha!
And that concludes the Johnny Zero interview, the first time ever with the world's heavyweight champion, Charlotte Ingles. Congratulations,
Charles sir. Ingles.
How do you feel?
Man, he looked pissed.
I did not picture he'd be so angry in an interview for him.
I didn't think he would sound like that either. I don't know. Maybe he was sick or something. I have no idea. But
still, it was an amazing, amazing information gathering. We still have a world's heavyweight champion, is what it comes down to.
Yeah, but
he's vacating the TV heavyweight championship.
Yes, but I think he's got some special deal with Springer or Povich. As to defend his world heavyweight title more on television.
No, he said it. I heard it in the interview. I think this happened.
Yeah.
He said it.
He wants to clean up wrestling.
Which is fine. You know what I mean? He is the world champion.
How do you not respect a guy like that? I mean, just saying.
Oh, well, I don't like him because he's a transvestite. If he was a man,
transvestite.
I would love him to
death. What are you talking about?
Charlotte Ingles.
You're talking about Mr. Brady.
The first lady
who kisses
of
men.
Wrestling?
He kisses men for his finishing mover. What are you talking about? He slithers over men sexual.
Do you know what I find sad?
What?
What I find sad...
Now I'm a homophobe?
...is that every time we bring up wrestling in any capacity, you take it back to Brady.
Would you just...
I feel that you're obsessed because
no,
this Charlotte Ingles has influenced
all.
Your mind.
You're using
and
it.
You miss having a real champion. And I respect that. And that's why the Bishop is here for all of you.
The Bishop of Wrestling.
The first Bishop of Wrestling.
He didn't beat anybody.
That's a funny sentence.
Yes, he did. He beat Keaton.
Has he ever been beaten?
Well, he's about to be.
But has he ever? I'm sorry. I know it's hard for you. I understand that.
Has Ingles ever been beaten? No.
No, I agree. The transvestite from hell is very powerful.
This guy's working 300 matches a night. 300 matches a night. No, excuse me. 300 matches a year. You know, 300 nights a year he's working.
I hear you.
And he's defending it. He's defending with that's what jet lag and airplane and you know everything else. And he's a real wrestler.
And prostitutes and hookers and cocaine on his farm. And
No.
I'm not gonna lie though. That was a good piece of journalism. I'm a little envious. We both got interviews for this broadcast.
Awesome.
Mine is intelligible. Like there's nothing there. No. You have breaking news.
Yeah.
He's established that the transvestite's gonna stay the heavyweight champion. That she's surrendering the TV title.
Transvestite.
It's a beautiful thing. Johnny Zero, sincerely, thoughts and prayers. Good luck. God bless.
What are you talking about, transvestite?
Charlotte Ingle, sir.
Okay. The fans. This is the fountain of misinformation. Just you know. Just take that with a grain of salt, everything he says.
At we are now going to begin the television program, the wrestling portion, if you will. Are you ready, Mr. Johnny Zero?
Sure. Okay. Absolutely, always. I was born ready.
At first, we're going to have the challenges.
Yeah! Coming to the ring
from parts unknown. Put your hands together for the real Frankensteins.
Nice.
Pretty cool, right?
Yeah. Great. That's fucking excellent, man. They look good too. They're ready to go, man.
And we have Bull step into the ring.
Yeah.
And they're about to face off against the World Tag Team Champions.
Stepping over the top rope, by the way, my dad.
And the crowd erupts, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, they are beloved superstars of TV Dad Wrestling.
They are the World
Skipper and Gilligan.
Tag Team Champions, yeah. Along with their manager, the Professor.
The Professor is showing up tonight. I see that.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Shipwreck.
Awesome. Awesome. Can't wait for him to lock up.
It's pretty exciting stuff.
Awesome, man. I how do you have this falling out? I'm just going to say the champions, but I think are going to retain. That's just my...
And that's the thing. I'm a huge Real Frankensteins fan.
I am too.
I love the new ring clothing they're wearing.
Yes.
I like that the green paint they're wearing is fluorescent, so when it hits the light, it's like super shiny.
Yeah.
I love the new theme song.
The neck bolts.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, it's great.
I've been rooting personally for the Real Frankenstein for quite a long time. Yes,
you have not.
You have not.
No, because
you thought that Mr. Big was going to win the last one.
Just because I didn't think they would win the match doesn't mean that I don't like them as a tag team. I'm just trying to be objective, and they upset, but, and they shocked me.
They've come a long way. They're very impressive. I like them a lot. And in my humble opinion, I hope they win.
I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, here we go.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Scheduled for one fall, the World Tag Team Championships. They lock up in the middle of the ring. Johnny Zero, let's get the coin. Now, as we know, in a World Tag Team or any championship, it's not the best out of three falls. It's the best of five.
Yep.
The champions are heads. The challengers are tails.
Yep.
Let's flip.
Okay.
All right. For the first one, Frankenstein. I'm sorry. It was the champions. Two in a row for the champions. Third flip. Oh, my God. I'm saddened to say that Shipwreck wins. Obviously, this is okay. He literally got four heads in a row. So literally, this coin is fake. There's something wrong with it. He's hanging in Shipwreck land.
No, I like the Real Frankensteins too. I have no problem because Shipwreck
four in a row. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't like the answer, but we are fair.
Oh,
the winner and still.
The world's heavyweight tag team champions,
Shipwrecked. I gotta say, I don't know, John. I don't know how I feel about it.
They have more experience. The Real Frankensteins will be back. They're a new tag team.
And there's the theme song. The crowd goes wild.
Yeah, people love them. I mean, you know, don't worry. They'll go probably fight the Royals after this. And they can come back in. The tag team scene is really competitive and thriving.
It's very fluid.
Yeah.
I personally, I'm done with the Royals. I am not a Royals fan. I don't like the constant drug use. I don't like that they're drugging everyone. I don't know.
I thought you liked them at one point.
At one point, sure.
But that was like your guys.
I'm getting over it. What can I tell you? I'm just not a fan anymore, and that's okay.
Yeah, I don't like the drug stuff either. But they're still, you know, they just lost the titles. That real Frankensteins can you know, go fight them, and that'll probably be the winner of that match. Will probably be who Shipwreck defends against again. The tag team scene, as you know, man, like, don't lose heart over the real Frankensteins. They'll be back. I like the real Frankensteins too, and they need, a team needs to learn how to learn with the to live with defeat and come back. You know, it's those teams that dig down deep.
No, I like the real Frankensteins. I like that. They're just like the underdog. They're the dark horse in the race. Yeah, I'm like just a fan. And it would have been nice to see them get gold here today. But hey, the better team is Shipwreck. And I accept the decision. I don't like it, but I accept
they were the
it.
Better team on this day. You know,
says you, Johnny Zero.
Well, they won fair and square. You know, so
was it fair and square?
yeah. I mean, you saw it right.
I wanted a new tag. I just don't like Shipwreck, I think. They just
why? Why don't you like Shipwreck?
I don't know.
You like Shipwreck is great.
I don't like fat people, maybe. I don't know. You got the fucking
fat people. Skipper's not that. I mean,
he's fat.
He's a rotund guy.
His finishing move is like a super bear hug because he's a big fat guy.
Dude. It's just it's the chemistry between him and Gilligan in the ring. Well, they got to beat him. I mean, what can you say? It's like Gwynn. They just keep winning. You know what I mean? Like, what are we going to do? They won that tag match against the Royals fair and square. You didn't want them to win that. And they beat him fair and square in the middle of the ring. I mean,
yeah.
It's Skipper and Gilligan. Who doesn't love Skipper and Gilligan? Come on.
I don't know, Johnny Zero.
Come on, dude. Come on.
They just give me a bad vibe or a negative vibe. I don't know.
How the hell could you turn on Shipwrecked?
I want to stress.
What is wrong with
you? I'm not turning on Shipwrecked. Happen to be rooting for the real Frankensteins. This is a very different sentence.
And they're a young tag team. I mean, yes, Lurch has been around for a while, Bull, but I mean, how many matches have they even had? I mean, like, they'll be back.
No, I know. Today would have been nice.
Yeah.
I don't particularly feel that Shipwrecked is a worthy team to represent the Federation.
I see, that's the thing.
I'm used to the Royals, who, if nothing else, are glorious and they're basking in their glory. Again, nothing negative against Shipwrecked per se. They're just not my deal.
Well, fair enough. But they are the World Heavyweight Champions.
Tag Team Champions. And they have the transvestite Charlotte Ingalls as the World Champion.
The Frontiersman Charles Ingalls.
And at this point, we don't know what's going to happen with the TV title, which is interesting. It's vacant, right. Which is sad, really, because I kind of looked forward. You had the match every week, 10 minutes, you got to beat him or not, and it's a big deal on the program.
Well, that is where we're at right now. What is going to be the next step to fill the vacant World Television Championship?
And there's more to it. I want to stress that now we have 6:05 Eastern on Sunday evenings. Does the TV champion got to defend it on both shows? Is it one show? We don't know yet. We know nothing.
Yeah. Right, fair enough. I would think that match would be the opening of the 6:05 show.
I mean, that's I hear you.
You know, for like a main event, that would make sense, right?
But there's no champion.
Right.
There has to be a way to establish a champion.
Well, we have to go through the official ratings and the PWI and the whole thing.
I like how you said we. Yeah. Sadly, you and I are just commentators. We have no power here.
Right.
We create nothing. Right. We literally are under the fucking hooves of the Springer Mafia.
The Springer regime, yeah.
Which is just bizarre.
The dictator himself.
So we're going to go to the next match.
Yeah.
If that's okay with you.
Absolutely, man.
All right. So what we have is John Lithgow coming down to the ring. Right. And there's no theme music per se, but something's playing. I'm not 100% sure what it's supposed to be.
Well, let's hear it. Wow.
Here he comes to the ring, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. John Lithgow.
Blood curdling.
Is it recordings of himself, I think? Is that really... I know that scream.
Yeah. Oh, my God, dude.
And this is his theme music now. He's John Lithgow. No,
are these... Holy... Shit, man. What the?
How does John Lithgow scream as two people simultaneously?
I don't know. How does a guy unlodge his own shoulder blades and dislocate his own shoulders to put himself in a camel clutch?
And now he's facing against Jamie Little Bundy, or is it Mini Bundy, Lawson?
Mini Bundy Lawson.
Now, you don't like his father. How do you feel about Mini Bundy?
I think he's disgusting.
He is quite the bastard, is he not?
Yeah. They're both in on that, and what they did to Vicky's, you know, that's just unspeakable, man.
It's just wrong.
I'd like to see him fry, to be honest with you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this match is scheduled for one fall with a 15-minute time limit.
Yep.
In this corner, the psychopath, John Lithgow.
Psycho Lithgow. Psycho Lithgow.
There's some fears out there for Psycho.
He's a fan favorite, shockingly.
And in this corner, we have Jamie Mini Bundy Lawson.
Yeah, these people don't really like these Lawsons.
This is heel versus heel. I don't even know where.
Well,
know
is Lithgow a heel? He hasn't feuded with anybody. He's just, the only person he's beaten is himself.
I just flipped the coin like it matters. Lithgow destroys this fucking kid.
Yeah,
like, this isn't even a fucking discussion.
Absolutely.
Like, the match begins. Lithgow throws himself over the top rope.
Yep.
Jamie just stands there looking dumbfounded. He has no idea what's
happening.
And he keeps
breaking his own count. What the hell is that about? He's rolling back in and breaking his own count. And he's destroyed him with a choke slam, this fucker. And now he's insisting on a second fall. What? Who's he talking to? Who's the referee?
I don't know who the referee
It's not. That's not Cunningham. That's.
But I got to tell you, Cunningham's out. He's no longer in.
Yeah, I know. I wish it was Cunningham. At least we'd know somebody had control of things.
So Lithgow's finishing move is remember? Oh, bear with me. The Amazon Man on pro wrestling.
Yeah.
The Amazon Man would grab his opponent and just bite their face off.
Yep.
Psycho Lithgow has taken a page out of the book of the Amazon, and that is literally how he's finishing this. Now, I got to tell you.
Great game, by the way.
See, do you know where to acquire it? Because I have no idea.
My friend, I talked after.
No, tell me right fucking now.
You got to go to, I think they have it at GameStop?
No, but like for what system?
You have to get the first Nintendo.
All right, here's my wrinkle, and we're going to put this out for the listening audience. If someone can assist me, please let me know.
Yeah.
I purchased the Wii many moons ago.
Right.
Maybe 10 years ago.
Right.
And I went online, and you had the ability 10 years ago to buy certain games that used to be supported in the Nintendo 64, and they were supported on the NES system.
Really?
So I have the original, I think, Punch-Out with Mike Tyson.
Cool.
On my Nintendo.
Right.
I have Super Mario Brothers on my
Nintendo. The one where he's like training and he's running with the guy on the bike.
Oh,
awesome.
I play it all the time. Now, I think he fights Mr. Dream. I don't think they let you have Mike Tyson's likeness anymore.
Right.
But still, that's what it is. It's Punch-Out.
Right. Is it like the green guy? Do you remember the arcade one was like a green?
It's nothing like the arcade one.
Okay.
It's the Nintendo Entertainment System Punch-Out from back in the day.
Okay, I didn't know if they hybrided.
Yeah. Mr. Dream was featured before Mike Tyson was.
Okay.
And then Tyson won the championship and it became his game and all this shit. But so I have that game. I play it all the time.
Right.
I've beaten Super Mario Brothers 1,000 times since on the Wii.
Yeah.
They don't sell pro wrestling as a download for the Wii.
From what I remember now, it's been a while. I'm not a big video game guy, but my friend Rick just got the original Tecmo Bowl, and he's got it on like a new system that I think can play old games.
There's another thing. I don't know if you've seen this online. Yeah. You don't frequent the internet, obviously, because you're hanging out with Charlotte Ingalls and you guys on the line or something.
Right.
But there's a mini Nintendo Entertainment System. It looks just like it. It's the size of this Focusrite portion of our recording console I'm pointing to right now.
Yeah,
it looks like the Nintendo Entertainment System. It has the controllers, and it hooks right up to your TV.
Right.
And it comes with a plethora of games, if I'm not mistaken, on that system.
Yeah.
Pro wrestling's in there.
Yeah, that's what the second thing I was going to say. If I remember correctly, they had it for like PlayStation or something like that.
I didn't say anything like that.
No, I know that, but I'm trying to tell you something. They had like a greatest hits of Nintendo or something like that, and you get like 10 different games. I think pro wrestling was one of them myself, because I've tried to remake those characters on like WWE games, like in a modern way.
I just love Starman.
Me too.
I love King Korn. I literally got to the point as a child that I beat the game with every single competitor.
Yeah.
And there was the Great Puma.
Great Puma at the end. Yep.
He was all tan and he had the Iron Claw.
You're thinking of Giant Panther.
I am thinking of Giant Panther.
Great Puma
was the guy at the end.
Yeah, he has every move. He can do the flip kick. He like Starman. He can do the backbreaker like King Slender. He can do the Giant Panther Claw. He can do every single move, but you can't be him. But I heard rumors when I was a kid, because I remember when that game was. Somebody told me, I don't really remember, but it was told me that was at one time in arcades. There was an arcade version of with those same characters and everything, and the real star of it was supposed to be Fighter Hayabusa. Because in Japan, he was the guy. That's where the game's from. But
which one's Fighter Hayabusa?
He's the one that does the kick. He kicks you in the back of the head, and he's just.
I thought that was King Horn Karn.
Nope.
I'm trying to, in my mind, visualize Fighter Hayabusa. What did he look like?
He just looked like Ricky Dragon Steamboat or something. Or like, Rick Martel.
No,
or Ricky Steamboat
Fighter Hayabusa looked exactly like Don the Rock Morocco. Exactly. And he was the first person you faced, by the way.
Are you?
Yeah.
Fighter Hayabusa. He's the guy with the black hair.
But it was a short haircut like Don Morocco.
Okay.
He looked, and he was really.
Early face Don Morocco? Yeah. Okay.
No, he looked like 80s Don Morocco.
Well, the graphics were only 16-bit, so yeah. I saw more. I remember more as like Steamboat.
But he was the first match you faced. So Fighter Hayabusa wasn't that tough,
right?
And then you went up the rankings,
right? Because that's because but the way the original game was made, you're supposed to start. You're supposed the one that they want you to. He's the main babyface, is Fighter Hayabusa. But when they brought it over here in the States, I think it changed. The storyline changed.
Well, King Slender was the face, obviously.
I see. I thought
he looked just like Barry Windham. Like King Slender was like.
Yeah, it was like Barry Windham with Ric Flair though.
No, it was Hulk Hogan's trunks and Hulk Hogan's boots with Barry Windham's head.
Yeah, and a little bit of Ric Flair in there too.
No Flair. There was no robes.
Oh, the backbreaker and the I guess it's how you interpret it. But I liked King Corn Corn too.
Actually, my favorite hands down was Starman.
Me too.
The somersault kick was just to die for.
Absolutely. That flying fucking forearm.
What's the form? Yeah, it was the form. You could just do it out of thin air. Yeah. The guy comes over, boom.
And you hit the ropes and just come up. Phew.
You could just literally, you could walk towards your opponent and hit the flying.
It was almost like a flying lariat. It was great.
Oh, it was great.
Yes, I love that.
He was purple with like pink fucking star in his face.
Yeah.
Oh, it was good times.
Yeah.
We just killed 6 minutes talking about the Nintendo Entertainment
System. Dude, it's awesome. We got to play, I don't know if you anything, but the Fire Pro Universe, man. Fire Pro, I'm telling you, will knock your socks off.
Don't even know what you're saying right now. I have no idea.
Well, it's the main, to my knowledge, and I'm not a video game expert, okay? But the game engine on it, the gameplay is so intense, and that most of all the wrestling games, in some way or another, all are based on that game. The graphics may not be, the best in the world, but they're not bad. They're not bad. I'll have to show it to you. It's pretty cool. There's an entire community online about it. It's Fire Pro Returns.
But what do you like about it the most? Like, what's your favorite?
One of the things. First of all, it's not just wrestling. It has UFC. It has boxing. It's a fighting game, and it's the science of how you make your characters. And you can have guys from all different promotions too. You can have WWE guys. You can have WCW guys. You can have NWA guys. ECW. You can have Japanese guys. Puerto Rico, Mexico. UFC, you name it, man. It's all there. And when you get the game, you have to change their names. Like Sting would be called Spike, and Hogan would be.
Oh, you've said that before.
Yeah, but you get like four different Stings. You can have the black and white Sting. You can have the Surfer Sting. You can make them into the USA one from the Bash when he won the title from Flair. Hogan, you can make him, the yellow and red. You can put him in the white, that American-made one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Hollywood Hogan, if you're into that, you know what I mean?
As we go ringside,
as
we digress, you have Peter Brady standing there.
Yeah.
And he is the challenger.
Yeah.
And he's facing off against...
Macho Duce. There is Miss Joni.
Ladies and gentlemen, headed to the ring wearing his new middleweight championship is the one, the only, Macho Bonaduce.
He does look glorious. He is a champion. Yeah. You'd never know that a week ago he murdered someone on national television
and got away with
on pay-per-view.
And it looks like they're going after Lawson for it, but I don't know. I don't know that he did.
Explain your side because I'm a little.
Well,
confused.
I'm saying if he jumped off the top rope and did hit him with the ring bell, that wasn't his head. Now they're saying that it's a fractured skull that went into his fractured bone that went into his brain. So that would have to be Lawson when the paramedics are taking Bundy out. Poor Bud, man. This is terrible. This is terrible.
Well, we have Peter the Great in the ring. How do you feel about that, Mr. Zero?
Well, I think he's getting ready to...
Ladies and gentlemen, scheduled for
he's
one
get destroyed.
With a 25-minute time limit.
Bonaduce's got to be in consideration for the vacant TV belt.
And they're off, kids. They're off.
So what do we got here?
I already flipped it. Definitively, there's no question Bonaduce wins this match.
I would agree with
now,
that.
Now, the questions we do have.
Yeah.
How does this happen? Do we block it out? Do we talk? Do we see what's going to happen? Does someone try to interfere? Is the Brady Boy abandoned completely by the Bloody Stash Corporation or Bloody Stash Crew? Like, what happened?
You'd be better answering that than me. I don't really know.
Now, if you remember correctly, this is the gentleman who was beating the shit out of his father. This is the kid that faced off against.
Yeah, but that, isn't there some kind of weird, like, since now he's the bishop, he's not. I don't know, man.
No, so tell me.
Since he's now the bishop of, you've made him this, like, you know, a pseudo title. I think Peter should probably try and get in good graces with his dad. To be honest with you, he's not going to last long in this match.
They lock up in the center of the ring.
Yeah.
And Bonaduce is a little shocked that he can't throw Peter Brady across the ring, which I find interesting.
Really?
Now, is Peter Brady on the PEDs? Maybe. You know, he might need them.
Well.
But it's a contest, well, and Bonaduce puts him into a headlock, and young Peter Brady picks him up for a suplex and smashes Bonaduce into the ring mat. This is actually a fight, sir.
And you know the PEDs. If you've seen some of those big beefy guys, I see Brady having when he comes out to the ring carrying him on that throne. It's very possible. I've heard rumors. You know, could be he could be on PEDs too. Maybe he just wants them to earn his keep in the BSC. Or who knows?
Now, young Peter Brady has attempted to put the figure four leg lock on Bonaduce, who's kicked him right in the buttocks. Yeah. Peter Brady has gone through the middle of the ropes, and he is now outside the ring laying on the mat. An angry Bonaduce has ascended, and he is on top of the ring post, and he drops a vicious elbow across the back of Peter Brady.
Wow, awesome. This is devastating.
Now, the camera itself has not worked its way over to that side of the ring, but we see that Bonaduce is kicking and punching and now rolling Peter Brady back into the ring.
Yeah, I don't think... I think Bonaducci's gonna take this.
I think it's a lock as well.
Yeah.
Bonaduce's a vicious competitor at this
but
point.
But you've always been a Peter the Great supporter, so...
This is true.
And I have to admit, he has bulked up, strangely.
He's come a long way, as they
say.
Yeah.
I don't, you know... Well,
now,
that's just in a couple days, man.
Miss Joni is on the ring apron.
Yeah.
And she's pleading with Mr. Bonaduce to stop torturing the young boy. Well, remember that she's out of rehab.
Whoa.
So,
dude, she's drooling, man. What,
oh, no.
What the hell's going on? What's up with that?
Oh, Johnny Zero. Johnny Zero, if you look, please, look
I'm trying,
up.
Man.
And above the ring, the huge television.
Yeah.
You have Mr. Big and Tony Danza have appeared. And they are advising that they have gotten Miss Joni hooked on the drugs yet again, and Tony Danza is letting us know that he is the drug dealer
question.
Now, Bonaducci's watching this. He's looking at it.
Oh, no.
He's getting infuriated, and Peter the Great kicks him in the back of the head. Is awful.
Oh, this is his chance.
Bonaduce goes out of the ring through the ropes, and now he is the one on the floor.
Yeah.
And we have Peter the Great ascending, and he is getting on top of the ring. He's getting at the top turnbuckle, and he's going to drop. Oh, no! Bonaduce catches him and punched him right in the stomach as he came down.
I think this is the beginning of the end.
Could be it.
That was his chance. He had his window.
An angry Bonaduce has suplexed the boy into the concrete.
Yep.
He's moving the mats. Well, oh, right into the concrete.
Why is Joni running back up the ramp to the back where the Springer Mafia is?
I couldn't tell you, Johnny. Can you want to take a look?
I know it's still like I don't know her. I mean, like that, but it's still a woman that's in trouble, man. I mean, what the hell? She's drooling, dude. She just fell. Oh, my God. Did you see that?
Well, she has a drug problem, sir.
Oh, that's just terrible.
If we go back to the ringside, we have rolled back into the ring is the young boy, and he's being assaulted and accosted by the very angry Danny Bonaduce. He hooks the leg, and no! One, two, he breaks it himself. He pulls up up the boy by his hair. Peter the Great in his hands. Yep. He's putting him into the rope. He's flinging him. He's coming around. Oh, he's putting him in a sleeper hold. Why isn't he in a sleeper hold? That's bizarre to me.
Well, it cut off the carotid artery, and you know,
Peter the Great has,
Goodnight Irene,
has fallen like a bag of potatoes in the center of the ring. Yeah. Mr. Bonaducci yelling third rock. He is yelling third rock. He gets on the first ring post. He drops an elbow. He goes to the second ring post. He drops another elbow.
Oh.
Why is he stealing the finishing move of the Psycho Lithgow is beyond me.
I have no idea.
Oh, yelling third rock again. He drops the final elbow. He covers Peter. One, two, three. Oh, my God, ladies and gentlemen.
It's over. Oh, my God, it's over.
The winner and still middleweight champion
of the world,
Danny Macho Bonaducci.
Macho Duce. Oh, boy. I hear, what do you think of the crowd here? I'm hearing, like, boos and cheers.
That Mr. Bonaducci has just noticed that Joni is no longer ringside.
Yeah.
And he does not look happy, sir. She does not look happy.
Dude, somebody needs to go up there, man. She's frothing at the lips, man, mouth. She's frothing. Dude. It looks like spitting up a vanilla milkshake or something. I'm going to go up there and see.
Hey, you all right?
Johnny Zero has left our broadcast booth.
I'm trying to help her, man. Just I'll tape that earpiece on.
Oh, Johnny.
You all right? You okay?
Oh, that's a rough one.
Oh, boy, here comes, hey.
El Duce.
You know what? Ah!
All right, man, just, you know, get her some help, man. What the hell? Did you see that?
Well, remember, she's fresh out of rehab. It's a scary time. I mean, there's a very high relapse rate for those people.
Yeah.
Maybe the Springer Mafia was just teasing our new middleweight champion. You know, who's in that weight class.
They are very dangerous individuals.
Tony Danza is in that weight class.
Absolutely. And they are very dangerous individuals. Look, there's nobody more associated with Frankenstein culture than me. Believe me, I'm with you with the real Frankensteins. But I mean, you know, they're a new team. They'll be back. They're upstarts. You know what I mean? They're not the what I'm saying is when they upset Danza and Mr. Big, I thought it was kind of a fluke. These guys are dangerous, and if Bonaducci is going to go after Springer Mafia, you know,
I'm not saying he's going after anybody. I just know that he's left the ring. He didn't do his normal celebration that he always does. He took his belt with him. His girlfriend isn't here.
What kind of man wouldn't stick up for his woman? Like,
I mean, you got to make a choice in life. Like, is she a bad woman? Does he not want to?
If you
remember correctly, the way this whole thing started is Macho Bonaducci had been defeated unceremoniously in his quest for gold to get the TV championship when we were trying to decide the initial
champion.
And so she came to his aid. She was here with her father, Howard Cunningham.
And he's gotten a more killer instinct since then in his matches.
He's gotten vicious.
He's gotten absolutely
very
vicious.
Very jealous. If you remember correctly, the tool man, the drug addict guy, was hit because he was looking at Joni's buttocks.
Well, he's a recovered
Well, so is
guy.
She. They might
and
have
he
things
was proven,
in common.
Let's give the man, Timmy was proven innocent in court. I mean, you know, Judge Phil, you know, Uncle Phil.
No, I hear you. I'm just saying.
That was the heckler.
Where there's smoke, there's fire, you know.
Well, it may be. But, I mean, you know, if people would judge that kind of stuff more as like a disease than like a sickness than a crime, I think.
You know what? Let me show you something. This is me.
This is my opinion. I don't
rolling
know.
Rolling my eyes.
Yeah. It's the guy. Something years ago, he had a problem, man, but he beat it.
He was arrested for selling cocaine. Then, in his TV dad's wrestling time, I saw him take cocaine in his neck with a needle. I saw it with my eyes on television.
That was not by his own doing.
I'm listening.
That was Brady.
It was the heckler.
The heckler, excuse me, I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm sorry, I got the names. the names mixed up, all right? But you know, when he tried to plant stuff in his locker room, and
again, I believe that Tim Taylor did that to himself. Allen, whatever his fucking name is, he put the drugs in his own locker.
He wasn't even an active wrestler yet.
He had called the authorities because he wanted his name broken. Like, he hasn't been on television in years, and he was feeling washed up. Let's be honest, he's in the shadow of the world's champion, the transvestite Charlotte Ingles.
Oh, stop
it's
it.
A tough time.
Stop.
And
it.
He needed his own attention, and
stop
that's
it.
What he did.
Ingles is the guy who let him stay on the farm to get clean and get out of that.
Get out of that?
you know, get out of doing that again.
Oh.
And he just comes up there to work out. The guy trains wrestlers up there. I mean, it's like Stu Hart's dungeon, or like it's the Ingles Farm, man. That's where they go and train. Evans goes there. Ritter.
So you had technician. Said there's a faction of evil wrestlers that are a part of the Transvestites farm. So who are these?
What are you
people?
Talking about? The Transvestite is Mr. Brady.
Oh, sir. Don't. This is the first
the
Bishop
Bloody
of Wrestling.
Stash
please
crew.
Have some. Please have some respect.
It's the Bloody
sir.
Stash crew. B. There's a reason it starts with BS.
Mr. Brady is all man. He has helped countless teenage boys across the world.
Hold on. Why is the original Ghetto Santa, Fred Sanford, why is he so upset about Lamont even associating with him?
I'll give you that. That's a little weird.
What's up with that?
Come on. We have recordings of him calling him Big Dummy 75 times in a row in the back.
Yes, we have. And you broke that story.
I did.
So how can you? I mean, is there something odd about that relationship? Maybe you want to reveal to the public?
I can't reveal anything. You know why I can't fucking reveal it? Why can't I reveal it? Because you got me fucking fired from my job. I'm no longer sponsored by the fucking Bloody Stash Corporation, and I have nothing.
But don't you find that to be a conflict of interest?
What?
That's like that being a news 24-hour news channel that's owned by one particular political party, either one.
I just want to, in this parallel,
I'm not
the 24-hour news channel.
I'm just giving.
And you're trying to
it's
imply.
It's just an analogy.
You're trying to imply that I was owned by someone?
Well, yeah, you just said it. You just said that.
I know it's called sponsorship, A.
Yeah.
B, I know that slavery is a big part of the Engels farm. Like
slavery?
Work, you work there for free and you clean up all of his horse shit.
What are you
shit.
Talking about?
That's what happened. Remember, Tim Allen had a drug problem?
Engels from the Midwest. They didn't have slaves there, man.
No.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about now. So you go there. You don't.
Up north.
They don't pay you anything. You clean the dog shit. You clean the horse shit. You like take care of the cows. You slop the pigs.
You got
like,
it. Engels usually does most of that himself.
And you're not paid for your time there. This is slavery,
this
sir.
This is where you go to get solidarity in a crazy, crazy TV dad wrestling world.
You go Sayeth up, you, sir.
You go to the... Well, look at what's going on around you. You've got mafia. We've just had a death. We've got drug problems.
How does no one give a shit that he died? There's no cops. There's no investigation. Are we the only champions of the late Ted Bundy? Us and who's the kid you said from Robot Chicken?
Seth Green.
Seth Green cares for some reason. Like, is that all we have?
Yeah. There's a few other
listening public. Do you not care about the loss of one Ted Bundy?
The guy who played, you know, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure or Bogus Journey.
Yeah, of course.
Where they had to God give rock and roll, you know. Well, the guy, the blonde hair guy, not Keanu Reeves.
The guy who played. Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah. Is he Bill or is he Ted? I can't remember.
Hold on, Bill. That's Bill.
Yeah, Bill. He's apparently released some kind of statement about it.
That's like, listen, you know what you just said? What? The other guy from Bosom Buddies released a statement. That's what you just said. Not Tom Hanks, the 2-time Oscar winner. The other guy from Bosom Buddies.
That other guy, he was actually pretty talented.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But he was fucking, he could play off of Tom Hanks. You know what his next move was or what his fucking career became?
What?
He was the boyfriend in Newhart. Remember that show Newhart with
Bob Newhart?
Yeah. What? So
am I the only person that doesn't think Bob Newhart is funny?
Here's the problem.
And I don't mean it like he's probably a good guy and all.
No. This is it. It's out of context. Bob Newhart is from a time before modern comedians. Listen, in the comedic world, there's pre-Pryor and post-Pryor. Yeah. Richard Pryor definitively changed it. Now, they do like to say that the gentleman, I'm blanking on the name. This is so embarrassing.
George Carlin?
No, before Carlin, who was the guy who got locked up for always cursing?
I'm blanking too, man.
RP, can you look this up for us, please? Yeah. So as RP looks that up, we are trying to figure... Oh, here it is. Thank you so much, RP. Robot Phillips, thank you so much. We are talking about the one and only Lenny Bruce. Yes, in stand-up comedy, Lenny Bruce is a groundbreaking artist, hands down, in any shape of the word.
Right.
He was the first one to ever be arrested for indecency.
Right, as far as language.
And obscenity. And he wasn't really cursing. He was just talking about racy things. Like, here's the thing.
Yeah.
So he's the first.
Right.
And then... literally 15 years later, maybe not quite, 10 years later, Richard Pryor, who started out being like Bill Cosby almost, has a radical transformation. He moves in with hippies. He had like $100,000 in the bank, which in the 60s is a fuck ton of money. Mm-hmm. He gets rid of his driver's license.
Yeah.
He leaves his house and he just goes and crashes with these hippies in like Haight-Ashbury and stuff.
I did not know that.
Oh, truth, for real.
Yeah.
And he built himself up and he made himself the Richard Pryor.
Wow.
And he had a fake name at the time.
I'm familiar with Pryor's work. I've collected some of his like albums and DVDs and things like that. I love comedy, but I'm going to have to re-educate myself on, like, I know the name Lenny Bruce. I've seen
now, listen,
things here and there, but I didn't really, you know, you have to take it at the time.
I bought Lenny Bruce live at Carnegie Hall.
Okay.
And it is clever, and it is funny.
Right.
But even I've heard stand-up comedians who I respect the hell out of in 2017, 2018, who say it doesn't hold up well. It was racy for 1962.
Right, right. But
or
it
1958.
Doesn't really stand up to the test of time.
It just doesn't, and it's not brilliant. But you can listen to Pryor from 78, and you'll still fall on the floor laughing.
Right, right, right.
Now, I don't know how about you, but for me, Pryor's the best stand-up ever.
I'll be honest with you, Eddie Murphy. I mean, he was a stand-up guy.
No,
he was
and
greatest.
I'm
going to
tell you, it
and
was
I like Dennis Miller too because I like that witty references. And
I hear you.
Yeah,
Eddie Murphy literally studied at the altar of Richard Pryor.
Oh, absolutely.
So without Pryor, there isn't a Murphy.
I agree completely. It's like saying, you know, MC5, and there's no, you know.
And I got to tell you know, Dennis Miller on Weekend Update in like the '80s.
Yeah.
I loved because I was a kid.
What's the one where he's in black and white?
I don't know.
He's in a suit. And it's just a stand-up thing.
Well, no, a stand-up comedy.
And it is literally witty reference on top of witty reference.
I got to tell you.
It's so complicated.
Not
it's,
a fan. Yeah. He has that ridiculous vocabulary. Remember when he tried to do Monday Night Football?
Yeah, that's like that's jump the shark time.
Okay, I'm with you.
You know what I mean? But I understand what they were trying to do there. But
they wanted
more
modern Howard Cosell. Because Howard Cosell's the best that ever was.
Right. But I'm saying, I'm talking about the earlier Dennis Miller. With the one, there's one where he's in black and white. I just wish it's on the tip of my tongue. I don't know what it's called. But it was on HBO. It was like an HBO comedy special.
No, I believe
special.
You. It doesn't matter.
It was absolutely brilliant. And I loved Eddie Murphy Delirious, too. Now, Richard Pryor, I like Richard Pryor. I'm not saying he wasn't great or anything, but he's a little bit before my time, I think. You know what I mean? And
he's definitely before my time, but the thing of it is, I watch it.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, for me, pound for pound, greatest stand-up to walk the planet Earth.
Oh.
Ever.
I think
and I
great
love
too.
Carlin. Carlin didn't die, and this sounds shitty to say out loud,
what?
He didn't die. He kept living, and he kept writing, and then he had another huge drug meltdown right at the end of his life where he was on stage in Vegas.
I didn't know that.
And he told the audience to suck his dick, and he walked off because he was on, like, pain medicine, and it was, like, all fucking him up. And I
what kind of pain medicine?
Who knows?
Oh, no, I'm just curious.
Who fucking cares? Pills, man. It doesn't matter. Why would that matter? What kind of pain medicine?
I don't know if he was on heroin or
pills.
Something like that. Okay.
Doesn't matter, though. He was addicted. He was hooked. No, listen. What are you making a face for? I'm telling you the truth.
Okay.
So he was sick.
Right.
And not sick. He was hooked on these, like, pain pills. And he just imploded on stage. And then he died soon after. And he is a brilliant comedian. He was making a new hour every year, which is a big deal. It's prolific. But he just kind of, he became the angry old man towards the end.
Right.
And the charm and the levity kind of left. I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, for me, Chris Rock in 1996, Bring the Pain.
Oh, he's a great one, too. Yeah.
Is brilliance. Brilliance. And everything after that, not quite as good. Really good, but not quite as good.
Well, one thing I have to say, I would love to learn more about stand-up comedy, but I think that their job, I think they have, that's like the greatest gift in the world, man, if you think about it. The power to make
people
laugh.
It's not a gift.
The power to make
people
laugh?
It's not a gift. They work really fucking hard.
Oh, I know that.
Well, no, then don't say it wrong. This is important. You write songs, right? Do you think that's a gift, or did you bust your balls to write those songs?
Right, but I'm
not. It's the same thing. They have to sit down and do their work.
I'd like to think it's also part of a gift, a talent, to do something like that, you know.
Well, no, I'm going to try and give you a parallel that makes it.
I'm saying guys that
I'm trying to illuminate a point, okay? Listen to my point, and then you can say what you want. Initially writing songs when you were a kid is one thing that happened.
Right.
But then as you worked your craft, you became a more prolific musician playing your instrument.
Right.
And then you had to build a show.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, for a comedian, it's the same amount of work. I don't want you to think or minimize it and just say it's a gift.
Oh, no, no.
Because in theory.
Yeah, I know they work at it.
Because we make this comedy show.
Sure.
Could do it.
Right.
I don't want to do it.
Right.
I don't know if you want to do it. But if we were to put the work in and do our due diligence just like we did for rock and roll.
Yeah.
We're really good at rock and roll.
Yeah.
We could be really good at that.
I would agree with that.
It's 10,000
people.
But it's 10,000 hours. Well, we've put in our 10,000 hours already.
Right.
But we didn't put it in for the stage time for comedians.
I agree, but I think just that, that whole thing when you going up. I've been at open mics, man, where like people are playing guitars, and I've seen comedians get the balls to go up there. And yes, I know I'm not taking away they don't work at their, you know, their routine or whatever. And just to walk into a bunch of you know, most people are drunk or whatever, and just try and just ba boom, here I am, and make you laugh. That takes balls, me, man. Even if they worked at it, and the power to make people laugh. There's some part of that has got to be God given. You don't think some of your, you know, music stuff is God given talent? All right,
this is a weird sentence.
Okay. I'm not saying that they don't work at it.
Can I talk?
You know what I mean? Yeah, sure.
You asked a question, bro.
Sure, go ahead.
Here's the answer. The first time I got on stage with King Sam, who's my guitar player, it was completely natural. The second show we booked, I looked at him and I was like, I'm really scared. Yeah. And he was like, no, it was a backyard show. We played a couple of, we were kids. We played backyard shows.
Sure.
He's like, this fucking yard, somebody's yard. Who gives a fuck? Let's just go play. Mm-hmm. And never again in my life was I nervous to get on stage.
That's awesome.
I learned this trick. That if you act like you are the shit and you have all the answers, they will very rarely, if ever, question you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I've gotten on stage where our band wasn't the best it should be, weren't as prepared as we should be. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Not recently at all, but when I was younger.
Right.
But we still pulled it off.
Right.
And there's a lot of it. There's an old sentence, fake it till you make it, right?
Absolutely.
But I feel like that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have the bravery, man, I've seen you perform live. Johnny Zero, I've seen your band.
Mm-hmm.
You're fucking dynamite on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Just take the exact same and put it towards making people laugh. You got it.
Right. But I agree with you on that, but there's still a portion of it that just the power to make people laugh. I'm really fascinated by it. I want to learn more about, you know, like Lenny Bruce. I didn't really know that. But Bob Newhart.
Oh, so that's the whole point.
Yeah.
Good way to bring it back.
I didn't know. That's
so right, Bob Newhart was a respected stand-up comedian.
He was like Bob. Was he like? I never saw his stand-up. I've seen albums. It's just like, get it. It's like Bob Hope Light, even for that era.
But it's set up punchline. It's like like a heavyweight fight, actually. He's pretty good at it. And for his time.
Yeah.
He was bringing out. If you
That's the context I'm not getting.
Did you watch the show Newhart in the 80s?
Yeah. They have it on Antenna TV. I'm just now seeing that stuff.
Now,
but
in my opinion,
hindsight
being 2020, it was a smart written support cast around him for that show.
Right.
But I don't know, man. He's charming and he wasn't exactly handsome.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So there's a reason
that
he existed. But he was.
Sure, he has a funny delivery. See, but the other thing is with some stand up comedians, when they go into television programs or movies, right? Like Kevin Smith, for example.
Yes.
Right. He's pretty good in movies. I like him. You know, he's like a likable guy. He's funny, blah, blah. But then I'm kind of thinking his stand-up's a little overrated. But
Kevin Smith doesn't do stand-up.
Yes.
No, he doesn't.
Are we talking about the same guy, the little guy?
You the director of all the movies?
I'm so sorry, man. Who am I thinking of?
I don't know.
The little African-American guy, short guy.
Kevin Hart.
I am sorry.
Huge.
Sorry.
At least you're not racist.
No, I'm not racist at all.
They're both really short, though. But
yeah, I didn't mean to.
Kevin Hart's short.
Sorry, man. I got the names mixed up.
No, Kevin.
I'm thinking that's a comic book men guy, right? The
exactly.
Clerks.
No, Kevin Hart. It's not. All right, no. I've seen him be really, really funny.
I've seen him at times, yes, too. But he's much better in movies. Like, he comes across the screen than he does on his stand-up. And he's so popular from his movies.
He sold out where the Eagles play in Philadelphia. Lincoln Financial, nights in a row.
Maybe this is just my personal taste. It doesn't mean it's a law or something.
I hear you. No worries.
It just doesn't appeal to me that much.
And with that, we're going to bring it back around.
In movies, yes, but stand-up.
Bear with me. This is episode number 20 of the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast.
Right.
Shipwrecked paced off against the real Frankensteins. Unnecessarily to me, Shipwreck has retained the tag team championship.
They won fair and square. We did flips.
They did. No, they did. They did.
Why are you turning? You are turning.
I can have an opinion.
I know.
Obviously, it's not allowed to be different than yours. That's fine.
No, I'm just saying. But that's the one thing. You were always a fan of Shipwrecked.
No, they're good. I don't know. I'm not feeling it. Then we had Jamie Lawson, who is Mini Bundy, face off against John the Psycho Lithgow. And that was John Lithgow handily defeating the young
Destroying
man.
Destroying him. Yeah, I want to see those fuckers burn, man. No, I'm serious, man. Fuck them.
And then Macho Bonaducci facing Peter Brady for the middleweight championship.
Yep.
And he defeated Peter Brady, although Peter did put up a fight.
Yeah, I got a little. Bonaducci let him, you know, let him work out with him a little bit.
But I got to tell you, Miss Joni having her issue where we had Tony Danza and Mr. Big appear on the big screen advising us they are the new drug dealers of her, and she ran backstage like an obedient lapdog to get her drugs, which is kind of sad, actually.
Yeah, it is. I hate to see any woman, you know, suffering like that. I mean, she flopped down on the running to the back on the ramp. We have a ramp that comes down to the ring, and she was frothing at the mouth, man.
So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in. This has been episode 20 of the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast.
Thank you for all your support. This is our 20th anniversary broadcast, and we appreciate it.
The TV Dads Wrestling Podcast is available on the Louded Loaded Network. We are also found on the Podbean application on your phone. Loud and Loaded is also available on iTunes and anywhere that you have podcasts being heard. With that, this is VexX and Johnny Zero.
Hey, guys, thanks for all your support. Go to our Facebook page.
Yes, sir.
Download Bean Pod and
Podbean.
Podbean, excuse me. And just keep supporting, and we appreciate it. It's our 20th episode, and looks like it's going really good. I can't believe this is catching on, but it is. So thank you so much.
There's many more to come, and this is VexX, along with Johnny Zero, telling you to stay frosty.
Rock and roll.